Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So glad you're joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. And you know what, folks? We count on your support. Yes, we have sponsors, we have advertisers, but that pays some of the bills. We count on your support. We thank you for your support, for keeping us on the air. We really appreciate that. And we're really working to expand. Tomorrow night, the 6 hours, it took a little bit to kind of put together. Eric the Tech, when I talked to him, he said, yeah, I can do it. And then I came to the studio, and he's got, like, wires everywhere, and I'm thinking, why do you have to rewire everything? He said, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. You can follow him, by the way, at Real Tech Eric on Twitter. I think I almost got strangled by one of those mic cords. I can show you. I did put it aside for evidence in the event that, you know, of my untimely demise. But let me ask you, folks. Well, our next guest, Josh Tully, is going to be talking about so many things, the election, of course. But this guy knows business, and I'm going to tell you something. When you get into business, you need to find people that perfect hire. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find the quality candidates you need. And you don't want to mess and hassle with phone calls, juggling phone calls. Have you gone through that? Have you gone through that whole ugly process? Well, if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your jobs on all the top job sites, and now you can with the least amount of hassle and the best interface you'll ever use to sort candidates, sort through candidates. You can rate them. You don't have to. I mean, it's all right there in one spot. I've used it. I've taken it for a test drive. This is fantastic. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post it once and watch your qualified candidates roll into the easy-to-use interfaces I described. It's a pleasure to use. You can rate them. You can put them aside. You can do it's just great. Again, no more juggling emails or calls to your office. The phone's not ringing off the hook. Your email box isn't being cluttered. My goodness. You can quickly screen candidates. Again, as I said, rate them. Hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. Right now, our listeners can post their jobs, your job needs, for free. For free. Sorry. By going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. If you're a business owner, you're looking for that perfect hire, listeners to this broadcast, take this down. You can post your jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time to try for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. It is worth it's just worth it if you're hiring, and it takes all of the headaches away from you. Now, Joe, this guy, our guest, Josh Tully, one of the finest men in terms of, well, just one of the finest men I know. We met him in person last year or this year.
Yep.
And spent some time with him, and I was just amazed at the depth of knowledge. His depth of knowledge and his understanding of the process. He's got a radio show that he does on a daily basis. I do listen. Joe, I know you listen. Eric listens. What a wonderful show. He's got current events, and his take on things is amazing, which is why we asked him for tonight on the eve of the election. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Josh, thanks for joining us. Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report. It's great to have you on.
Oh, guys, it is always great to be with you guys. It's an honor. You guys have a wonderful show.
Well, thanks, brother.
Yeah.
You do as well. And now, tell our listeners about your show, because we didn't really get specifics. Give specifics.
Yeah, no worries. It airs 9 to 11 Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 Central, 10 to noon Eastern, Monday through Friday on stations all over the place. If there's not a station in their area, they can call a local station and say, hey, you need to get this guy, or they can listen on iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever they hear their favorite shows.
Gotcha. All right, perfect. Well, let's start off with the obvious, if you don't mind. Where are we at with everything going on here? And the headlines seem so dire. The do or die, the election seems like, you know, it is kind of like do or die, it seems. As many people are, I think they're digging around in their drawers for their cyanide caplets. It's just kind of weird feel to it. This whole time period does.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. This whole thing, I cannot tell you how many people are opening up their Bibles just because of what they see is happening in the election. And I think that's great, whatever gets you to open up your Bible. But, yeah, this thing is crazy. And what we're seeing with the government's refusal to prosecute a criminal is just beyond me. It is absolutely outstanding. And, you know, it really kind of makes Game of Thrones and House of Cards look like kindergarten, what we're actually seeing play out here.
Man, my wife said the same thing. And I was talking to I was talking to Steve Quayle this morning, and I talked to him, I think I talked to him every morning, but he said his wife said something very similar to that. Apparently they watch these, or, you know, they know about these shows. So, but you've got a great outlook, and you know that, just from your experience and your faith, we've got a fight on our hands. I mean, regardless of who wins, we're going to have an uphill battle. We've got a job to do.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when I was on your guys' show a while ago, I was telling listeners, regardless of who wins, your government is going to get bigger. Donald Trump is a big government guy. He admits it. He kind of likes that police apparatus. So just get ready for a bigger government regardless. But if Hillary wins, this is literally a criminal getting in the White House. Not kind of a criminal, not, you know, hey, she's kind of shady like all politicians. This lady is an absolute criminal, and I'm sure you guys know this, but I've spoken to Bill Clinton's ex-lovers, I've spoken to her hitman, I've spoken to the ex-Secret Service agent, like, I've spoken to everybody around this woman, and they're all saying that she is cold, she's ruthless, she's calculating, and the fact that the FBI is changing their mind, the fact that Huma Abedin is not in jail, the fact that the maid is not in jail, the fact that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is not in jail, this thing goes so big, so deep. And then a lot of people are starting to email me saying, hey, Josh, is it possible that Hillary Clinton is the Whore of Babylon and we've been mistaken it, thinking it was like the Catholic Church or the Vatican or something? Like, is it possible that it's Hillary Clinton? The reality is, great question. Because anybody who can get away with this and not get away with it and not go to jail, get away with it and get completely away with it and still run for president, something's wrong. And that means that this system is so corrupt that all these shows that we've been doing over the past year since we've both been on the air about, you know, hey, the government's corrupt, there's a shadow government, there's Satanists in the government, there's pedophiles in the government, this has proven all of that absolutely true. And, as much as we love the vindication, the reality is that now the devil's in the hen house, and it looks like we're going to have to deal with that after tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely right. What did you think, Josh, when you saw Comey open up the email investigation again, and, you know, you heard a number of people come out and say that there's a revolt in the FBI and all this other information and on top of the WikiLeaks information? What was your initial response after hearing Comey was opening the FBI investigation into her emails a second time?
Well, my initial response was, hey, is it possible somebody might hold somebody else accountable here? But it came with doubt, too. You know, I'm like, they're just going to possibly use this as a way to say, oh, well, now we did take a look, and we're double sure she's innocent or something. But we have to keep in mind that the FBI has never said she's innocent. When he made his initial statement in July, he said that she committed the crime over 110 times. That she emailed classified information over 10 times, top secret information. So the FBI never cleared her. This speaking point that she loves to point out, well, let's go back to their findings in July. Okay, lady, if we do that, you're going to prison because they said you're guilty. The only thing he said is that we're not recommending prosecution. Other than that, they found that she was guilty. But again, that goes to show how deep and corrupt this system is, where you have the FBI director who is going back and forth, which isn't really surprising, because I remember I was on your show before and we were talking about how Comey was on the board of HSBC, and while on the board of HSBC, he gave tens of millions of dollars to a certain charity called the Clinton Foundation, and then he happens to end up the director of the FBI. So I never really thought she was going to face the music on this anyway. And that's part of the reason why, if Donald gets in, Donald's got to be careful, because if he's truly sincere about appointing a special prosecutor and going after this, they're going to go after him. And you're seeing resignations being handed in the FBI. I've spoken with people in the FBI. I've spoken with U.S. Marshals. I've spoken with even local law enforcement who are saying, if she's not going to go to jail for something, or at least if somebody's not going to go to jail for something, we're going to resign, because obviously we're not enforcing the rule of law here. This is extremely selective, extremely elitist, and why even bother arrest the 16-year-old kid with a dime bag of marijuana when the person who's running for president couldn't pass an FBI background check?
Very true. And you know, I heard something from Trey Gowdy. I don't remember who asked Trey Gowdy this, whether the president has to pass a background check, and
they don't.
I was really amazed. Gowdy said the ultimate background check happens on Election Day.
Yeah,
and I thought, wow. Just wow. Okay.
Not only does the president not have to pass a background check, nobody who is elected has to pass a background check. Right now, you have over 100 members in Congress who wouldn't pass an FBI background check to be a janitor because of their ties with terrorist organizations. Yet they're sitting on boards like the Intelligence Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, the Armed Services Committee, and they couldn't be a janitor in Langley if they actually applied, because they have known terrorist association.
Exactly. Now, Josh, I've got to ask you this. I mean, we've got so much to cover, but out of all of the crimes, and I mean crimes, these are not scandals, these are crimes, by Hillary Clinton, what do you think, from the most severe downward to the least severe, in your estimation, are we looking at here? What would you attribute, like, the worst case, I mean, the worst crime, if that's even possible to even triage her criminal activity, but what would you...
Well, first you have the suspected crimes. So you have the suspected crimes like murder. We have a list of bodies piling up behind her like nobody's business. Then you have the suspected crimes of being okay with human trafficking due to some of her pay-for-play contributions. And then you have suspected crimes dealing with over $100 million of cocaine money going back to her days as First Lady in Arkansas. So those are all suspected crimes that are really up there. I mean, for goodness sakes, I heard from one agent that they have enough on her to come up with RICO charges, which is what they charge crime families with. So that's the suspected crimes. But then you have the actual proven admitted crimes, where she's taking money from Qatar, where she's taking money from these foreign entities, and 23 hours later she has a meeting, or, you know, she's using the State Department in a pay for play. Folks, that is selling your country. That is the definition of a domestic enemy that everybody who has served in law enforcement or the military has taken an oath to defend our Constitution against. She is, by definition, the domestic enemy. And then you have the email scandal. And you have to keep in mind, I mean, Huma Abedin has been busted with classified information on the front seat of her car. There are people in prison who are guilty of much less, and they don't get this special treatment. So her list of crimes is well over 1,000 felony counts at this point. She would go to prison for the rest of her life even if she's some demonic witch who lives to be 700 years old, she'd still be in there for the rest of her life. And, you know, this is not a case of, well, we just have to choose the candidate who's less creepy, who's less, you know, political. I have been fighting for the ending of the two-party thing for 12 years now. I have been involved in presidential debates for a third-party candidate. I've been praised by the Green, the Constitutional and Libertarian Party, for my position on getting third-party candidates in. I have never, ever been a two-party guy. But when people tell me, well, Donald Trump's just as bad, on what planet? I mean, okay, so yeah, he might have done something with his university thing, which was sketchy, okay, then go after him for it. He might have said some naughty words, okay, then ridicule him for it. He might have bad policy, okay, then don't vote for him because of it. But Hillary Clinton is a criminal. She shouldn't even be allowed to be in D.C., let alone be in the White House running the show. So you can't compare the two in terms of apples to apples. We're looking at apples and oranges here. So that's my take on that. And the fact that nobody is seemingly going to prison for this. At this point, you would usually even have a scapegoat, somebody who would fall on the proverbial sword. But their arrogance, their ego, where they don't even throw a staffer under the bus. And they're like, well, yeah, we committed crime, but so what? That right there should scare every American. And I don't say that to fearmonger. I say that because that's exactly the epitome of tyranny. That's the exact epitome of evil in the White House that every founding father warned us against, and some people believe that the Bible even warned us against.
Now, Josh, back to the emails real quick. Did it surprise you to see any of the satanic stuff, the spirit cooking, and the innuendos, and we heard, you know, this pedophilia ring and child trafficking ring that's inside the Clinton department. And we had a show Friday where we had Russ Dizdar and Ted Breuer and Doc Marquis on to talk about this. But is any of the satanic aspects or spiritual aspects of the Clinton campaign surprise you, or is this something that you were already aware of?
Well, I wouldn't say the action surprised me, because back in, I think, 97, Bill Clinton alluded to the fact that Hillary engages in spiritual seances and stuff like that way back in 97. So I knew there was a connection. What surprised me, though, was how blatantly open and honest they are. Never would I ever think that if you're some sort of Satanist cult worshiper, you just put this in an email. You're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're spirit cooking. That, to me, kind of shocked me, because I know people who don't like the fact that, you know, they watch too much football, so they code word that into emails to their buddies so their wife don't pick up on it. These people are trying to conjure up a demon, and they're like, oh yeah, what are you doing Wednesday? So that part shocked me. And you know, again, yeah, the fact that nobody's denying it. Podesta never came out and said, oh, well, you misunderstood me. I was talking about making gummy bears and we pretend they talk or something. None of that actually happened. Nobody has ever denied anything that's in these emails.
It's amazing to me. And what I'm wondering about, too, when, okay, the timeline, when Comey came out and said, okay, we got 650,000 emails found on Wiener's computer, all right? Mm-hmm. And there goes Eric the Tech chuckling over Anthony Wiener again. 656,000 to be exact. And we know for a fact that the router from, and I was told this by my NYPD contact, that the router was taken. They believe there was a transference of data. They know other devices were connected via the router. My NYPD source was extremely explicit but somewhat reserved in the information which was given to me. So that was right after this announcement by Comey. Now, I know you've got contacts. I mean, mm-hmm. folks, this gentleman, Josh Tully's got contacts, believe me. I've got some contacts. Well, my NYPD source gave me a lot of information that substantiated the satanic rituals, in addition to other things. And then he's in the wind. All right. We were expecting this to be, handled a little bit differently. And it was a complete 180. Instead of NYPD, the task force between NYPD and the FBI, forcing their hand, Comey's hand, and the DOJ's hand, Comey did a 180 again. And now my source is in the wind. I have a lot of questions about this. I don't know. Have you? Are your sources telling you anything? I mean, you know, with the outing by Pachinik, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and you know you've been watching everything unfold. I mean, what happened here?
That's the billion-dollar question, because everybody knows she's guilty. Everybody involved. And you look at these emails, you look at the collusion between CNN and the DNC, you look at, like, the report I gave you from the DNC, where even the delegates knew that something was amuck here, that she's not really winning. It's getting to the point where you have to say, this is spiritual. It's almost like, it's almost like Nikolai Carpathia from Left Behind. Remember the Left Behind TV show? You have that movie, you had that guy who they would meet with him, they would go in there, try to accuse him of a crime, they would come out thinking, oh, we were totally wrong. It's kind of like that is happening to everybody who doesn't have their eyes open. Because, yes, it's freaky that Comey is reversing ground. Yes, it's weird that, you know, Loretta Lynch and the whole satanic thing and then the pedophilia and all that. All of that's weird. But what really blows me away is that Hillary supporters are still on board. That shocks me, because that means these people are so cold in their heart. They are so void of God's Holy Spirit. They are so gone when it comes to even logical conclusion-based reasoning, that something has happened to these people to make them mind-numbed robots. Because I don't care if JFK would have done this. If JFK's affairs would have been made public, he would have been gone. If LBJ's illnesses would have been made public, he would have been gone. Something has happened where it doesn't matter if Hillary Clinton was walking down Main Street, shoots her husband right there in the middle of broad daylight, people would still say, well, he had it coming. Empower women, let's vote Hillary. We have seriously jumped the crazy train. And it's one thing to expect evil to do what evil does. That's gonna be. The devil is the devil. But what really gets kind of freaky is when the people to your right and to your left start falling, kind of like the biblical verse, right? When you have these people out here in America who are still backing Hillary, and I think those numbers are wrong by the quantity of them, but I still run into Hillary supporters, and they don't care. They really don't care. When I bring up stuff like, hey, you know what? There's evidence that she's tied to a pedophilia sex trafficking ring. Well, that's okay. Did you know Donald Trump declared bankruptcy 3 times? What are you smoking that somehow makes these two things equal? That's what scares me.
Yeah, and many people seem to be dug in into their positions this election, regardless of the facts that are presented to them. And, you know, just here where we are in PA, I did a count on the number of Hillary signs versus the number of Trump signs on the way to the studio. And last count, it was 13 Clinton signs and 33 Trump signs. We see the support for the Trump online and at his rallies, you know, filling up arenas. And he just has his support is alive, if you will, where Hillary's support seems to be dead. You know, they're so busy defending everything that she does. And there has to be some kind of disconnect, and this goes to what you were talking about, Josh, with her supporters. They have either been indoctrinated and brainwashed by the media that Trump is dangerous, and so much so that whatever evidence that Hillary Clinton, about what Hillary Clinton has done, is irrelevant to them, because they believe what they have been told, in that Trump is some kind of, you know, monster, where if he's elected that basically he's like a Hitler in disguise. And it is very scary to see the disconnect from reality that people have in this election cycle. And it's only going to get worse from here if they've gotten it this far up until now.
Yeah, if she actually ends up in the White House, everybody grab something and hold on tight, because that is essentially saying that we could do whatever we wanted to and nobody's going to hold us accountable. And once she's at the top of this pyramid scheme, then there's no getting her off of it. So I think we're going to enter into that sort of spiritual reality. But that leads to another point. We were out talking to churches, and, you know, there's some great people who are associated with me near the studio. And they were out talking to pastors. Now, these are supposed to be people who are proclaiming God's truth, who are reading from the Bible. And out of seven churches, six of them do not talk politics this election cycle. They don't want to bring it up. They don't want to address it to their listeners. They don't want to talk about what God said about electing holy people. And they think that's up to their own people to decide. We're not going to touch it. And a lot of it has to do with the 501c3 misunderstanding. But there's something deeper there. Because if I was a pastor, I wouldn't care. If there's somebody running for office who has all these crimes proven and admitted that she doesn't even deny it, and then you have all these suspected crimes with evidence linking her to it, I don't care if I lost 501c3 status.
Amen.
I don't care if they killed me. I would stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop the evil.
Yes, speaking of that, Josh, we're going to have to stop you right there just for a couple of moments as we enter into the bottom of the hour. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. Very special guest, Josh Tolley, impacting all human endeavors indeed. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This hour we are joined with author, radio show host, and friend Josh Tolley of The Josh Tolley Show, and he will be with us until the end of this hour. And we're talking about, you know, the election and the things that have happened in the last 2 weeks in the news cycle pertaining to the election. And I got a question for you, Josh, both for myself and as from a listener. If there is no voter fraud, who would win the election? And if the popular vote were left alone, who do you think would win the election if you had to guess?
Well, one, we have to acknowledge that there already is voter fraud. I mean, people have voted twice in two different states. There's a Project Veritas video out today of a lady undercover in a burqa going in as Huma Abedin and getting the ballot. So there is voter fraud. So that's not an option. If there wasn't voter fraud, I would say Trump wins this thing in a landslide because of what you were talking about with these crowds. I've been to some of these rallies. I've been to the events. And, you know, crowds have never determined who wins. When it's like, well, one person has 7,000, the other person has 5,000. Well, that doesn't mean you know who's going to win. But that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing 25,000 people show up for Trump and 40 show up for Hillary Kane. They have so few people showing up that Hillary has canceled events, Joe Biden has canceled events, Kane has canceled events. So this isn't a case of, well, her supporters aren't just active. They don't exist. So if it was just popular vote, bam, Hillary would get it. But we also have this nasty thing called the Electoral College that a lot of people think is just this awesome device, and it's not. With the exception of two states, all the other states have faithfully bound electoral representation, which means they're not obligated to adhere to the popular vote at all. So what you see happen tomorrow, if Hillary doesn't like it, it don't matter. So you're going to see this tally of electoral votes pop up, which means absolutely nothing, because in December, when the actual vote counts, those people are not necessarily bound to what the results that the TV is going to tell you tomorrow. When they're like, well, the first one to 270, we don't really know that until they cast the vote.
Explain that to our listeners, because I didn't do well the last time I attempted to explain this. The Electoral College, you know, this is something that, what you just said, if, well, I'm going to just let you go. I'm just going to shut up and let you go. The Electoral College, its role, if you can kind of give us a basic 101 primer on this, because this is something people need to really understand.
Well, the Electoral College was set up as this idea to make sure that the country doesn't get run by mob rule. We've heard a lot that we are a republic, not a democracy. So the Founding Fathers wanted a little bit of a check and balance between the masses and who actually gets to choose the president. And if you really get down to it, it's extremely elitist. We have convinced the people that your vote counts, but in reality, it's the Electoral College that counts. They choose the president. Nobody's officially given this thing until December, regardless of what the television tells you tomorrow. Now, how it's supposed to work is that each state is given Electoral College representation based on their population. So whereas some place like Wyoming gets two or three Electoral College votes, places like California get a bunch of them. This is why you never see a presidential candidate in South Dakota. Because like it or not, your vote doesn't count. They don't go for popular vote. Popular vote doesn't win the election. It's Electoral College votes. And even if they're going to play it fair, your vote still doesn't count in South Dakota, because even if Trump or Clinton wins, they win three little tiny Electoral College votes, which means they're never going to get there. So for the majority of the country in rural America, sorry to tell you, your vote literally does not count. Now, beyond that, they're supposed to be faithfully bound. So when Texas and their big number of Electoral College representatives go to D.C. to vote, they're supposed to vote in accordance with the breakdown of the popular vote inside Texas. But that's only a myth. They don't have to do it. There's nothing requiring them to do that. In addition, these people are anonymous, and they're done so on purpose so the people can't take revenge on the vote. And if we think, well, has this ever happened? It has. This is actually how Abraham Lincoln got in, because he had to wiggle and giggle and whine and dine and schmooze the Electoral College voters in order to get into office. So, yes, typically they stay faithfully bound because nobody wants kind of like upheaval, but they're not required to. So it just kind of re-edifies or reconfirms what a lot of people think, and their vote doesn't count. Now, to me, that doesn't mean don't vote. It really doesn't. Even if you're like, well, Josh, 16 of the states have machines controlled by George Soros, still vote. Make them steal it. Make them have to steal it. Just don't roll over and give it to them. If we're going to go down, I want to go down swinging. I want people to wear red to the ballot box tomorrow to show everybody that, hey, I'm not voting for Hillary. That doesn't even mean you have to vote for Trump. Vote for Jill or Gary or whoever. Write Doug in. I don't care. But there's this movement where people are wearing red just to show if she wins, you people are stealing this thing. But I kind of want to get back to something else that was brought up before that break, and that's this idea of what is scary. Did any of this surprise you? We also need to remember we're counting on the FBI to arrest somebody, but it doesn't have to be the FBI. We hear all these county sheriffs talking about how, well, we protect the Constitution and we adhere to our oath. Well, there is no reason a county sheriff can't go arrest almost everybody up into and including Hillary Clinton right now today. Because when she put her name on that county election board to run for president and then committed the fraud that she's committing, she carried out a fraud against every citizen in every county where her name is on a ballot. That means your local sheriff can go arrest her today. Above and beyond that, she also is connected to the violence that we've seen in Chicago and Milwaukee. So when we see Sheriff David Clark on Fox News talking about how I support the Constitution, well, her DNC incited violence in Milwaukee. That's enough evidence for you to at least arrest the person who's on tape admitting they did it. Why haven't you done that? They have somebody who admitted that they incited the shutdown of the highway in Arizona. Why hasn't Sheriff Joe Arpaio at least arrested that person? Because it happened in their county. So that, to me, scares me a little bit, too. We have over 3,000 county sheriffs And a lot of these people keep telling us, well, we adhere to the Constitution, we're oath keepers. Well, then keep your oath and go arrest somebody. It happened in your county. Live up to your duty. And that's not happening either. Which means this whole idea that we had of, well, if it really comes down to it, our guys are going to be on our side. Where are they? It's crickets. These people could be arrested by the time this show is over, and it hasn't happened yet.
We're going to have Stuart Rhodes from the Oath Keepers on, head of the Oath Keepers. That question, I just marked that down. I'm going to ask him that question. That deserves to be asked, especially if David Clark is, I believe he's a member of Oath Keepers. Regardless, there's enough crime to go around. But you're right. That is kind of a frightening or disconcerting situation.
And then you got Obama promising illegals that they won't get in trouble.
Yeah, what's
and
that
urging
about?
Them to go vote in this election, and basically giving them, you know, the red carpet, saying, "Hey, not only will we not, if you're caught, not deport you, but we're not going to look for you if we find out you did that either."
I know. It just goes to re-edify and reconfirm how messed up this situation is. This is exactly what people said they've been fearing. You know, we have this idea that somehow the collapse is going to be boots in the street and some sort of martial law Armageddon. That's not logically possible. The country's too big for that. So we have to get real. What is it really going to look like? And it's going to look like this. It's going to look like a Congress that's compromised, a Senate that's compromised. So you have the House and the Senate, both the House of the Congress. You have the White House that's compromised. You have an email trail that essentially says, yeah, we killed Scalia, which everybody suspected anyway. Everybody's worst conspiracy theory nightmares are coming true, including this whole idea of a shadow government, because that was in the email trail. This is that nightmare. It's here. It's not someday, somewhere, or yo, you guys are just fear-mongering. This is what everybody said was afraid was going to happen. This is it.
All right. We're watching it. You know, and that's what I've said that before, too, Josh. You know, everyone's waiting for this big event to take place. And it might very well take place, but meanwhile, we're in the midst of this takedown, this tyrannical takedown. I had a laugh because I read something, and I'm going to turn it right back over to you. But I read something from a self-described author, journalist, who said, you know, there's no tyranny in America. America is not under tyranny. And I chuckled at that. Yeah, I laughed at that because I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, how do you define tyranny? You know, I guess our definitions are slightly different, but yeah. So we are watching. So you don't expect, okay? Like, can we extrapolate from here based on what you're saying? Let's say, for example, Donald Trump just wins tomorrow, or whatever the situation might be, it would favor Trump or even a replay of like a 2000 elections without the hanging chads, whatever. Do you expect violence in the streets? Or do you think that we're so far past that there won't be violence, or at least not widespread violence? I mean,
I don't think there's going to be widespread violence. I mean, you might have some uprisals, you know, upheavals largely funded by the DNC that has funded them thus far. You might have some challenges legally. But to be honest, even if Trump wins, none of what we were just talking about goes away, because this isn't a situation where it's like, well, you know, we don't like Al Gore and the hanging chad and, you know, who. Then no. How deep is this strain of evil? How deep is this inside job corruption? This is every episode of 24 come to life. There are moles in the government. I don't know if you saw the WikiLeaks thing, but you have the assistant attorney for the Department of Justice telling Podesta what they will and will not be looking for. That's a mole. This is like a Jack Bauer situation. How deep does that go? If Donald Trump wins, so what? Yeah. You need to do an entire purge of this thing, because you don't know who's on the inside still working for whatever weird satanic cult this is looking more and more like it's serving in the first place.
Has this election, in your opinion, has this, and one of the things I think is a positive, whether Trump wins or not, is as he has made this, I'd call it historic run for the presidency. Nobody's given him a chance from the beat before the primaries, and he ended up winning the primary. Nobody gave him a chance to win the election. They were even writing articles, you know, how he had no chance to win, you know, because of the Electoral College, basically saying, mm-hmm. you know, it's impossible. Now we see he's gained huge momentum among people. And not only that, we've seen the release of all this information from the DNC, from the Podesta emails, from Hillary's private server.
And
everything has been
stop.
Released, and it's been revealing just this, as we've been talking about the whole hour, this pattern of corruption of not only events and multiple events, but also the corruption inside the highest levels of our government. And there still has not, they have not been able to bring a charge or have not, chose not to bring a charge against Clinton or any of her aides. But one thing that Trump has done is expose and bring all this to the light in an election cycle where more people are paying attention now than, you know, in any normal time, during a news cycle. And all this fresh information has come out. So regardless of who wins, do you see this WikiLeaks, you know, exposing the Clintons to gain more momentum than what we've seen so far?
I think that regardless of what happens tomorrow, the world is about to change. Either Hillary Clinton wins and they don't have to pretend anymore. They don't have to pretend to be nice. They can be like, yep, we were evil and we still won, so why not just be evil? Or Trump wins, and those of us who have suspected this for years get to tell our friends we were right. But either way, after tomorrow, the world is about to change. And we need to be ready for that. We need to understand, okay, this isn't game on as usual, because let's say Trump wins. Well, you still have people like Paul Ryan. Let's take a look at this for a second. Paul Ryan had the opportunity to put forward for a vote a bill that would designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. He denied that bill the possibility of getting a floor vote. Why? Who is paying this guy? And that's what I'm really getting at. People have to stop thinking that the government's the answer. And I hope that we use this as a wake-up call and we take back our country block by block if we have to. But you have to stop thinking the Republicans are going to fix it. You have to stop thinking the Democrats are going to fix it. This is proof positive that both of them are corrupt and evil. There's nobody on the inside of these parties that wants us to win. Yes, you have some highlights like Justin Amash and Gowdy. There's a few of those, but that's not the system. We have to take control of our destiny and say, you know what? Regardless of what DC does, we're no longer going to play. And I remember I was on your show years ago. And I said, look, there's just about 3,600 counties in the United States. If we said, forget you to D.C., and instead took out a map of those 3,600 counties and said, okay, once we get to 1,801, we win regardless of what D.C. does, we could do that. But it has to be us doing it. And the thing that makes me a little is the fact that Hillary supporters are still blind. I mean, think about this. WikiLeaks was supposed to take her out. Remember? Boom. She's done. Well, we're on WikiLeaks dump, what, 37 now? And she's rising in the polls even as we're talking. So there is this massive disconnect between what is being revealed. And I mentioned this in the beginning of the show. It doesn't matter. There could be a picture with her going to prom with Satan himself, and nothing would change in the morning. So people have to say, okay, we need to get back to doing this. How do we do that? And that's why, guys, I've been telling people from the rooftops, entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship. Because if you look at how we got here, it was the lack of entrepreneurship. And a matter of fact, you know what? I'm just going to do this. Hopefully my team's listening. We're going to do this. Anybody who goes to purplemonkeygarage.com or purplemonkeyuniversity.com and signs up for our class to teach you how to become an entrepreneur, I will give you a free copy of Evangepreneur. And if you buy the thing all up front at one time, I will double your investment. I will match you and give you a free $600 ticket to any Business of Life event I do. Because that's how important this is. If we don't become entrepreneurs again and Donald Trump's elected, so what? We have to use this opportunity to get back to an entrepreneurship-based economy and fight the tyranny. That's the only thing that does it. Free enterprise has always been and will always be the fuel for freedom, and without it, no amount of information is going to do us any good.
And folks, this is why we love Josh Tully. This is what separates Josh Tully from everyone else. You're losing me. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. This is why we love Josh Tully. I'm just going to repeat this again. Because no matter what, we are going to fight or go down swinging. We're not going to die at the end of our driveway on our knees. Okay. We are going to fight to the end. But you've got keys how we as Christians can not only survive, but thrive even when the odds are against us. Can you give that offer out one more time, please? Because that to me is so significant today. And I know there are people out there hungry for exactly this. Purple Monkey, just go ahead.
Okay, so one, I have to say that we have had a number of Hagman listeners in our classes. So what you guys are doing is amazing. So many people have come to our classes because they've heard me on your show. So keep it up. But what I was saying is, for the first time, we are taking my class and putting it online. For the first time. Like, we just did it. Like, 3 days ago, we finished putting the video on the website. So this is brand new. So if people go to Purple Monkey Garage, that's my consulting business. And there's a whole story of how the name and all that. So just, you can go there. So if you have a business, that's where you get me to be your consultant. But in the above and beyond that, I knew that we needed to teach people how to start businesses, because 8 out of 10 businesses fail. Not because business is bad, it's because we actually don't teach people how to run businesses. We just teach them how to set them up, and then they're basically set up to fail. So we put an online course together. You go to purplemonkeyuniversity.com, all one word, Purple Monkey University, and by the time you get there, they're going to have a deal set up where if you buy the monthly course, so you get a lesson every single week, you get assignments every week, you get real-life case studies every week, so it's like $12 a week. If you sign up for the course on a monthly basis, I will send you for free a copy of the Amazon number one bestseller of Entrepreneur. If you buy the whole year up front, because I understand that's a little bit of an investment, it's $600, I will give you a $600 ticket to my live events, so I'm basically matching you. You meet me halfway. I'll chuck in $600 in tickets if you chuck in $600 for the class, for those who can afford it. But either way, we have to get people trained up in entrepreneurship. Every church I go to, and pastors, you can book me for your churches, but every church I go to always comes down to the same problem. Josh, we love to get involved. I see what's going on in the news. I listen to the Hagmans. But I'm working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. I come home and I'm too tired to do anything. Well, God didn't design that. And we've done shows on that so they can go listen to your archive. But you're designed for more than this. God's model is free enterprise. From Genesis to Revelation, he calls his people to be entrepreneurs, and I prove it in the book. So we need to become what God has called us to become and stop serving money, i.e. the government, through their version of servitude, which is now mass employment.
This is so important, folks. We can overcome, we can win this. Or we can actually protect ourselves, our families, our lineage, our legacy. Josh Tully is the guy to take us there, to take you there. He's the man. I mean, he knows what he's talking about, and that's a very generous offer, and I want to thank you for that. Totally unexpected, but thank you. Josh, we've got about 5 minutes left.
It was a little unexpected on my side, too. I'm hoping my people are listening.
I love it. But by the way, I had the opportunity to sit next to Josh on a Q&A panel at a conference, and my goodness, you talk about I could feel the spirit. You know how when you're around somebody and you just know that somebody's a special somebody. I mean, you know. Wow. But just to hang around Josh Tully is just an amazing thing. Final question here with just a few minutes to go. Do you care to, I mean, or I'm kind of tempted to say you take the last 5 minutes wherever you want to take it, but I'm just kind of curious if you have any thoughts in your spirit, in your gut, intellectually, emotionally, whatever, how you see the next day, the next few days, the next week playing out. If you want to, if you don't want to go there, I'm okay with it. You can go anywhere you want, but that was kind of my closing question.
Yeah, well, first I want to say, before I get into that, thank you guys so much, and I could say the same thing about you. If you have not met the Hagmans in person, they are exactly what they appear to be on the air. It's amazing. You always hear, don't meet your heroes. That's not true with Doug and Joe. Meet them, and you'll actually be more pleasantly surprised than even when you hear them. So definitely see any way you can see them in person. But with what you were asking, what's my prediction? We made a prediction on your show, and before I knew I was coming on to tonight, I was going to contact Joe and say, hey, we got to be ready to revisit that prediction. So here's my prediction. If Hillary Clinton wins, you are going to see a loud but kind of neutered anger amongst Trump supporters. If she wins, you're also going to see an economic downturn, so be ready for that. If she wins, I predicted on your show before, and I'm not saying it's prophecy, so don't say Josh is a false prophet. This is just a prediction. I'm predicting that if she wins, within 6 to 8 months, Russia invades another country. If Donald wins, I think there will be momentary uprising of violence. You'll see it in the major cities. You'll see it associated with Black Lives Matter. You'll see Rachel Maddow basically bust a blood vessel in her forehead because she's so mad. You'll see that. But I think within 6 to 8 months, you'll see a terrorist attack in this country, whether it's real or an inside job, just to send a message, you chose the wrong guy, now you have to pay for it. So that's my prediction on what's going to come. In addition, though, I think what we're going to continue to see, and I'm so excited about this part, we are going to see the continuation of the revival of real believers. I cannot tell you how many people are really becoming believers, so living the Bible, being doers of the Word, not just readers of the Word. And I think we're going to continue to see that, because this illusion that somehow we're Americans and special and that's going to protect us from evil, that's gone away. We're no longer living in that little kid world. We now see the ugliness around us, and that's going to make us turn to the one holy true God. And I think that's going to continue. So wherever there's adversity, there's always opportunity, both spiritually and through entrepreneurship. And I'm glad that you guys are out there talking about this. I'm glad that you're on the air. And I just applaud you for doing what you're doing. And listeners, support their sponsors. People ask me all the time, Josh, how do we get more alternative news? Well, it costs a lot of money. So support the sponsors, support Doug and Joe and their show if you can. And maybe we'll even come back on in a little while, now that I'm thinking about it, and do something where we can kind of help you with that too. So
that's my
prediction, guys.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, my friend.
That's Josh Tully from The Josh Tully Show. And absolutely, we'll have you back on in the near future. Folks, we'll be right back with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com for our hour number 3 on this Monday edition, the eve before the election. We'll be right back. Stay with us.